Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord. Stay tuned for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Well, praise God for his goodness, his presence, his faithfulness to us in our need, which is all we've got if we're honest. We need him, but he is faithful. Well, I've had a number of thoughts in the last few days specifically, and in one sense, they're not anything new. But, you know, we always need to hear certain things often because of the fact that we live in a broken world. We live with a consciousness of the world around us and of our needs here. And yet we're not here for that issue. I mean, we're not here as a part of this world or for its purposes. We're here because God has a purpose that goes way beyond all of this. And trying to navigate all of that and learn God's ways is a challenge at best. And I thought, my mind went back first to Abraham, and we know Scripture portrays him as the father of the faith, in the sense that there was something established in him when God called him out of a heathen background, revealed himself to Abraham. The simple thing is, as God began to deal with him over time, it says in the scriptural record, Abraham believed God. God spoke to something to him that was totally beyond human ability to accomplish, and yet there was something in Abraham that said, I believe you. And we pointed out many times that Abraham didn't just believe the promise as an incident and then, okay, we're just going to take it everything as it comes and, you know, maybe this will be good, maybe that won't be. There was a connection with not just the promise itself and the content of the thought, but the person who made the promise. There was something born in his heart that gave him a confidence that enabled him to look to God regardless of difficulties, impossibilities, circumstances, you name it. He was always faithful to look to God. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't have his, you know, he wandered off track here and there, but the bottom line always was that he believed God, okay? And Abraham became the father of the faith, and it's his descendants to whom the promises, the eternal promises are given. And, of course, a lot of folks think, oh, that's the Jews. Well, thank God it is some of them. But the thing is, the descendants of Abraham, the ones that God considers to be his family for his purposes, has nothing to do with his flesh. Has everything to do with those Jew or Gentile who are begotten of the faith that was in Abraham. And he has a family that includes many here today, and I'm thankful. And there are things that are happening in the world that we have no knowledge of. But here we are called to navigate life on earth. And I guess I'm trying to think of the title, if I can come up with one. And it was this, unconditional faith. Now, Abraham's belief of God had nothing to do with the circumstances of his life. They were not dependent on anything. It wasn't like Abraham had his goals and his plans and his earthly desires and somehow God was going to fit into that, or he was going to fit God into it or something, or use God. This was purely a matter of Abraham leaving everything behind, every consideration, casting his lot with a God that he could not see but knew was real. Because this unseen God has the power to reveal himself to a willing heart. And he could be more real to somebody that has experienced that than the world that we see and touch. And so we read how Abraham, against hope, he hoped. He never considered the circumstances and the impossibility of anything. It was always God has spoken, that's enough. I'm going with that, and I'm his, and come hell or high water, I'm his. There's a place that God desires for every one of us to go and to reach. And we certainly see this principle of what you might call conditional faith, if you want to call it that, in a lot of unbelievers. Because among Abraham's physical descendants was a nation that found itself in bondage in Egypt. And God's purpose was to bring them out of that and fulfill the promise to Abraham to give them the land, the promised land. And so he brought them out with mighty signs and wonders. There was no reason for anybody, if you had looked at the circumstances, there was absolutely no reason to do anything except, this is a mighty God, I believe him. There's no question. I'm not going to take it issue by issue by issue. I believe him. There was no excuse. They saw the wonders in Egypt. They saw the Red Sea open up, and they walked in between two walls of water on dry ground, then watched those waters swallow up the Egyptian army that was chasing them. Well, at that point, they had what you could call faith, didn't they? They danced. They rejoiced. They shouted. They praised God. They were there on the far shore seeing a mighty deliverance. And it took about 3 days for their real heart condition to be made manifest, didn't it? They, you know, we what did you bring us out here to die? We have no water and so forth, and it's one thing after another. And yet they also saw the miracles at Mount Sinai. They saw a mountain on fire. They were terrified and you had to be impressed. This is a mighty God that we're dealing with here. And Moses, just tell us what he wants. We're afraid to come anywhere near him. Just tell us what he wants and we'll do it. You know, how many times do we profess this or that under, you know, circumstances, and then something comes along later and you don't see that thing we call faith? It was what the writer to the Hebrews calls an evil heart of unbelief. 10 different major incidents in which God put them to the test, and yet they manifested this persistent, rebellious unbelief. What was the problem? Their faith, if you want to call it that, was very, very conditional on God doing what we want him to do and what we expect and meeting our earthly needs. God's really our servant. That's what's the bottom line is. It's about me and what I want and what I expect. And that's what I'm looking for. And if he doesn't do that, well, we'll just go do something else. I'm the one in charge. This is my life. If he wants to help me out, that's great. But it's my life. And I'm the bottom line is I'm serving me. And that's the condition of the world at best. Even when you can get people to acknowledge the things of God, most people who do that outwardly are still serving self. They've never been born of the Spirit of God on the inside and had him change the heart. And anything short of that is not what he's come to do. And, you know, Jesus gave us the picture of the farmer who went out to sow the seed, and the seed we know is the Word. And there were four different kinds of soil. Well, one of them particularly came to mind, and that was the seed that was sown on the rocky ground. And what you had was a little bit of soil on the surface that was kind of receptive, but down underneath it was rocky and hard. So the roots had nowhere to go. They couldn't find their way into a receptive area of that soil, the heart. And so When hard times came, they said, I'm out of here. This isn't what I signed up for. I'm obviously paraphrasing the thought. But what they were trying to do really was using God. They were responding to a message that promised them all kinds of things. I'll tell you what, there's so much false gospel out there. You know what you call a prosperity gospel, that God's main interest, besides, well, yeah, he'll take us to heaven one day, but God's main interest is earthly affairs. And we need to get in a right relationship with God and have faith, and we can have our bank accounts full and perfect health. healthy, wealthy, wise, all that, just God's going to just fight our battles. We're going to have a way where no matter what happens in this world, we can just speak the word and the devil will just flee and life will be wonderful. Well, you don't find that in here. That's not the picture of what it means to serve God. We are absolutely in a world that God has designed for one purpose. He has allowed it to exist. But we've made this point very plainly lately. There is only one reason for this world to even exist. It's not about life here. It's about preparing a family to live with Him forever. And all that is wrong with this world will be gone for them. And everything else is going to be destroyed. So our life here is not about God fixing us all up and making life smooth. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of people that are out there that are religious that see God as their servant, and praying and faith and all of that has to do with God fix my life. I got a problem, fix it. And then they if the Lord is merciful and it gets fixed, then they go on and, okay, it's my life. The real master of their fate is themselves. They're just serving self. So I think we understand that part, that God is seeking not to, I mean, real faith is unconditional. Real faith means I have a confidence in Him that is not based on whatever happens here. Because circumstances will change, okay? The problem is, I mean, we could say, oh, yeah, those are unbelievers, but that affects us more than we may realize. We may, you know, we can acknowledge these truths, but in actual practice, I think many times we are in a position where we're acting as if our faith was really conditional and things aren't the way we want them. Therefore, it affects how we think, how we feel, how we act, how we react. Now, this doesn't affect anybody here, right? We've all got this nailed. But the reality is we absolutely live with expectations and a lack of understanding. We are geared to this. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with when we have an earthly need of going to our Heavenly Father. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. We should. But God has not promised us the flower-strewn pathway that you see in the hymns, that one hymn. God has not promised us that kind of an earthly existence. There are times when it's the right thing for God to do, to absolutely intervene. But there are other times when God is more interested in developing our eternal character. God has His purpose in life, His purpose for every single one of them, every single one of us. And God is more interested in having a people that are absolutely bottom line committed to His purpose and not ours. Oh, that's a challenge to work out, isn't it? I think of, there's so many issues I've thought of, Lord, you're going to have to bring into my mind if you want them said. But I just pray, one of the things that we run into that's a real danger is that we're trying to learn how the kingdom works, right? I mean, what is this Christian life about? How does it work? And many times what we are unconsciously looking for is a formula. We want to break down, I've said this before, but we want to break down the things that of God into a something we can write down and, okay, now I know how that works. I'll tell you what, we got a God who doesn't work that way. And so if we see something happen or experience something that happens, it's like, oh, praise God, now I get it. I know how that works. And when this happens again, I just push this spiritual button and I say this and boom. And then it doesn't happen. Okay? Something's wrong. What's going on? And the devil will jump in those times. And he will throw in all kinds of negative thoughts when we have expectations, however they're based, however they come about. and we expect something to be a certain way. Lord, I've served you 40 years. I've served you faithfully. Why is it like this? And nobody here would ever say that, right? Why am I going through this? Why now? Lord, I should be getting into Canaan's land here by now. You know, I'll throw this in there. You know, we sing that song about being in Canaan. And I wonder sometimes if, you know, it's awfully easy to misunderstand that. I think that song was probably written by people who had a concept of the Christian life was, all right, most people are struggling, but there's this place. Oh, we can get into this place, and then all of that's just behind us, and we're just going to be victorious. We're going to feel God's presence all the time, and we're just going to... That's not the Christian life. Paul never got there. He had challenges all the way through his life. There was never any special place. I'll tell you, there is a special place in the sense that we get past depending on this. We get past living with this expectation that if I'm right with God and I'm serving God and I'm doing the right thing, everything should be easy. What we get to if we're really serving the Lord is that I can have joy in the midst of sorrow. A lot of things were said this morning and sung about. God wants us to have an ability to praise Him, to look to Him, to rejoice, and to have a joy that is not dependent on earthly circumstances and feelings. You know, we get older and we have aches and pains and problems and this and that, and oh God, it should be fixed. Or we see somebody healed and oh my God, why am I not healed? We are terrible at comparing ourselves one with another and comparing experiences. I've mentioned this before. I'll just mention it briefly, the experience I had in college when I was around people who were really focused on experience. And they were really preaching as though, if I just get through this barrier of unbelief and whatever it is, I can break through into this realm where I'll just be victorious. Oh, the icicles will run up down my spine and I'll just have this glorious sense of God and His reality and His presence. And I watched people around me and they were seemingly doing good and nothing was happening. What's wrong? And that particular time is when I got mad at God for a few days. I just went into a spiritual depression. And nobody here would ever do that, I know. But just in case you run into somebody, you'll know what to tell them. But the thing is, I can't measure my experience by somebody else. How many times have we made the point that everyone is different? Everyone has a unique place in the kingdom of God. Every one of us is different to start with, so what God is having to do to get us to ready to even to fit into that place is very individual. And there are seasons when God has to work a certain way and not another. And I started to say a while ago, one of the dangers that we see is when we'll watch how God deals with somebody, and then we'll begin to say, okay, now I understand how God deals with people. I understand how it works. Okay, well, that should apply to me. So if I do this and do that and do the other, then that's what's going to happen to me. And how many of you have ever been in that place where you've observed something that happened to somebody and it didn't work for you? When are we going to learn that there are no formulas? We need the Lord. We need to learn how to walk with Him and to trust Him. And you know, one of the areas that people struggle with is the question of healing. Obviously, God does heal. But the danger is that when you start seeing, it almost gets to this idea that, oh, there is a formula, there is a way that we can get in a place where God will work and God will heal. And if we can only get everything lined up just right and push the right spiritual button, healings are going to happen. Well, I wish it worked that way. Absolutely, we need to pray and ask God. Paul did. And we know the one instance where that wasn't God's plan for Paul at the time. We know that he left a man, a fellow servant named Trophimus, at a city called Miletum and left him there sick. So these things do happen in the course of the Christian life. But we also know that there are other times when God healed and did mighty miracles. I don't want to go in either ditch. I want to have the place where I can sense what God wants to do and be a part of it. You know, I thought of a scripture where Paul was in a certain place. I couldn't tell you where it's at exactly, but obviously in Acts. And he looked at a man among the people where he was, and he discerned that the man had faith to be healed. And so he prayed, and the man was healed. Now, do you discern? Do you see what's going on there? Is that a formula where we can just say, this is supposed to happen if we do this? Or do you not see the Lord, God himself, working in that man's heart and in Paul's heart to accomplish something? Where did that man get this faith to be healed? Was it just part of his earthly personality? Where did that come from? That came from God talking to his heart, somehow implanting in him that sense, if you just look to my servant here, God will heal you. That didn't come from any formula. There's no way you can replicate that. That was something that God had a purpose to do on that occasion, and he did it, and he implanted the faith in that man to be healed. But that wasn't all of it, was it? He implanted in Paul. Paul was walking in harmony with God to the point where God could talk to him. Imagine that. Wouldn't it be nice if we got to the place where we could hear God's voice and listen and be in harmony with him and things he wants to do? Again, no formula to any of this. But God had a purpose and an occasion to reach out to a certain man, and he had a servant there. And it's almost like the Lord tapped Paul on the shoulder and said, see that man over there? Do you sense something about him? He's got faith to be healed. I want you to pray for him. And God connected the dots, as it were. And there was a mighty miracle that happened. And it wasn't some program. It wasn't a show. It wasn't, all right, we're going to have a healing campaign. It was just being in tune with God. Oh, there's a part of me, I've expressed this over the years. I wish that God's people could come to the point where the supernatural presence of God could be in our midst, and that isn't what we'd focus on. It would be as natural as breathing for God to do special things, and yet we wouldn't try to make patterns and show a show out of it. We wouldn't say, oh, come, and we're going to have a healing campaign, and if you'll do this, 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 and this, God will heal you. I'm not saying God hasn't ever worked in spite of a lot of that. But I don't want to be one of these people that just searches out plans and formulas for getting God to do stuff. I want to have a place. I want to have a heart that says, God, give me a listening heart. Give me a listening ear. Help me to learn how to walk with you.
This has been the Midnight Cry broadcast. If you would like a DVD or CD of today's message in its entirety, please request it by program number. While it is not required, a donation of $10 for DVDs and $5 for CDs is suggested to help with expenses. Also, for those who request it, we will send you our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, free and postage paid. Send your requests to Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina, 28388. We invite you to join us again next week at the same time, and may God richly bless you until then.